Hey everybody, welcome to the Midnight Frightcast, episode number 95. I am your host, the Doctor of Filmonomics, Greg. With me today, we have our Scream Queen, Maddie.
Holy shit, it's 95.
We have the Doctor of Everything Else. The Doctor of Everything Else.
My name, so we're going to say, hey, everybody, how's it going?
Sorry, I forgot about that part. And
forgot the, his name?
No, I knew his name. I just forgot to add it. And our doctoral intern, Joshua.
Intern checking in. Intern Josh.
Intern. Here. Intern. All right. We are rocking and rolling today. We're doing something kind of the same, but a little bit different. We are implementing a new segment called Trailer Trash. Basically just means we watched a trailer, but it sounds cooler than just saying, hey, we watched a trailer. So we all watched a trailer for the movie coming out, I believe it was in March, that is Imaginary. What are we thinking about Imaginary? Maddie, what do you got?
I hope this trailer was Imaginary. I am so fucking sick of seeing this shit. We don't care about your haunted kids toy. This has been done. This has been beaten to death. The horse is dead. Okay, the horse is dead, and you continue to beat off on it, and we need to stop. Like, nothing, it's not groundbreaking. It's not, this is florals for spring. It's bullshit. Like, nobody wants this anymore. None of these movies bring anything new or anything, like, fresh to the game, and so they just need to stop. Like, no one cares anymore.
The gloves are off. I would also like to point out that this was a Blumhouse production. Patrick, what were your thoughts?
You know, I half agree with Maddie on it. It seems like something that has been there before. We're looking at some children's toys affecting them somehow or another. But I think it goes beyond just the possessed teddy bear going into that imaginary friend realm.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that it implies there's more to it than just supernatural with the teddy bear itself. But yeah, I do agree with Maddie in the sense that it's probably nothing new, things we've already seen before. Will I watch it? Yeah. Yeah,
we gotta
watch it.
We got to make up our yearly list somehow. So Josh, what do you got?
How many strikes does one get before they are out? Blumhouse has been nothing but like a swing and a miss since, I don't know, forever. They did Five Nights at Freddy's. They did Megan recently. I just watched Night Swim not that long ago. That's at least three strikes. I mean, go sit down, pack up your shit, and walk home. I mean, you're not wrong. This imaginary friend thing is not fresh at all. There's just nothing. If you're gonna do it, you know, find something fresh with it. But I just don't think there's anything fresh to draw from this imaginary friend kids toy genre. So Blumhouse, even if they've teamed up with James Wan, because they have, you'd think they would be a little bit better. They're not. So I again, like Patrick, I'll watch it. But my bar is real low with Blumhouse anymore.
Yeah, I think I have to. Go ahead, Maddie.
I was going to say, this is why they keep making this shit, because you guys keep watching it, and they keep getting their fucking viewers, and they're like, oh, well, 70,000 people watched it, well, because they didn't know they were hate watching it. A hate watch is still a watch. Stop watching it.
Yeah, well, we need something to be bitter about, Maddie, so let us watch the goddamn movie.
Do you think they ever take into consideration the ratings that you apply to it when you're streaming it? You get to the end of the movie, it says, how would you rate this? Gives you the thumbs up, thumbs down. And you're wondering, do they even look at that and say, hey, let's take that into consideration if we're going to keep making garbage or not?
Obviously well, not. There are 10 Saw movies. They don't give a fuck. They just are like, oh, look at the money.
Or do people just not take the time to actually do that, to actually rate it?
Let's not attack Saw, please, at the moment. The last Saw movie that came out was not that bad. Between 1 and 10, a little rough, but number 1 and number 10, they worked out.
Okay, I was just using that as an example. I'm just saying, if you keep If you keep going, if you keep answering the booty call at night, it's going to keep texting you, okay? And we're going to keep getting these shitty fucking movies because they're not looking at this. They're just looking at total viewers.
Also, why do you think teddy bear? Why teddy bear? Again, an overused toy. Why can't we use, I don't know, something else? Find a different scary toy to this.
Kids aren't playing with like teddy bears anymore. Every kid I see walking around's got an iPhone. Give me a haunted iPhone, and then like we'll talk. But like, I don't see kids playing with toys anymore.
Yeah, Greg, thoughts?
Well, I wanted to say that I was interested enough to at least check it out, but I feel like I'm gonna get my hand slapped very, very hard by saying that. No, it's I wholeheartedly agree. It's another unfresh, overdone type movie. And sorry, Maddie. Yeah, I'm probably gonna watch it just to see what they do with it. I know. Hey, I also want to add a item to our topic list of horror booty calls.
No. But that'd be a good movie though, the haunted booty call, but I feel like that's just on Tinder as a woman. There's like a 1 in 5% chance you're in an up in a trunk.
Right. I was intrigued up to the point where they showed the bear go into like full on monster mode at the end. And then it was just like, no, you lost me. So the trailer did what it was supposed to do. It hooked you in, and then I'm sure once you see the movie, it's going to be a whole bait and switch type thing. So we'll see. I'm not overly thrilled with what it was though.
When did you say that came out, Greg?
I thought it said like early March, like next month, maybe
March 8th
or 4th.
March 8th.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was early March. So
keep our eyes open for it so we can make sure we catch that one.
Yes. Yeah, we'll put that on our watch list. No. All right. Speaking of bears, we watched a film. That film was Cocaine Bear. I don't know why I'm putting so much space in between there. I think I'm trying to think of words. I'm not doing very good at hosting. I apologize. We watched Cocaine Bear. Movie came out, I think it was early 2023. Is that correct? Yes, no, somebody says.
Sounds right.
2023. Okay, so it was last year, so it's a fresher movie. It's one, I believe, that we all had our eyes on and were interested in checking out. So, Patrick, do you have the deets?
I do have the deets. Cocaine Bear, 2023, running time 1 hour, 35 minutes, currently streaming on Prime Video. An oddball group of cops, criminals, tourists, and teens converge on a Georgia forest where a huge black bear goes on a murderous rampage after unintentionally ingesting cocaine. IMDb rating, 5.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 66%. And audience rating of 71%.
First thing I'd like to say out of the gate, I don't know the level of enjoyment for a lot of people that have seen it that I'm familiar with, at least, but this has cult classic written all over it.
Yeah, for sure.
it's by no means the greatest horror film ever made, but it is a fun watch.
And then we can also follow it up with Cocaine Shark that was coming out. And how the hell does a shark even get cocaine?
That is true, wouldn't it? Like, yeah, never mind. So, Patrick, what do you got? Talk to us about Cocaine Bear.
I enjoyed part of this movie. To me, three quarters of it was entertaining, and let me change to two thirds, because we can break it down into acts. The first two acts were fine. Third act just, to me, was unneeded for part of it. I didn't really need to know the mother-daughter relationship or with the friend. Some other things, and when they were in the cave at the waterfall at the end, that part just didn't work for me, but everything kind of leading up to that did. The rest of it was working for me. What I really enjoyed in this movie were the effects, because they were able to do some pretty incredible things with this movie not just with the bear, but with some other things. When the park ranger slides out of the back of the ambulance, that was that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good, and I enjoyed that. I don't want to give too much away since it's still a relatively new film. So the way they handled a lot of the effects, I thought were done really, really well. I did enjoy some of the shallowness of the characters because I didn't want to get invested with any of the characters in this type of a movie. That's why the last act just didn't work for me on it.
Okay, Maddie.
This was a good time. Like, there is no denying that Cocaine Bear is kind of fun. I do agree with Patrick. I think the last like third of the movie just kind of lost what it was trying to do. It just kind of started trying to give more like background and depth to a movie that's about a goddamn bear on cocaine. Like, we don't need depth. We don't need none of that. We can just enjoy the bear on cocaine. I think we could have used more bear on cocaine, actually. The bear was not in the movie enough, out running around causing havoc, and that would have been just like, if we had gotten like 5-7 more minutes of cocaine bear rampage, like, instead of whatever the hell that ending was, like, that would have been some good shit. I do like how many movies this has also spawned, like meth gator, cocaine shark, crackcoon, like, what is that? But I'm kind of here about it. I do think it's funny that this movie was based on a true story. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an example of taking a small event and like really turning it into something like totally wild, which I'm kind of about. But you know what? It was new, and I kind of hope they do more things like this where, as I said, they take something small and abstract and like kind of blow it up. There are so many wild news stories. Like, if you just type in like Florida man, we probably have like new shit for like 7 years, like just them down there doing meth, cocaine, bath salts. Like, we could have a good time with like that concept. But I like this movie. Would I rewatch it? Probably not for a really long time, like on my own. It's kind of a good like party movie. I don't mean cocaine party movie. I just mean like fun atmosphere movie. But I did really enjoy Cocaine Bear.
Excellent. I feel like Florida Man would make a really good anthology series. Josh, hit me.
Yeah, it's first of all, again, like I said, I watched this movie at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was a I wish I would have watched it, you know, with a more open eye. But I did the best I could for the time I had to watch it. It's a shut your brain off kind of movie where you can just kind of sit back and chill and relax and kind of enjoy everything. It's a tight 90 minutes. I love a good opening song to a horror film. Yes. And Jefferson Airplane's Jane like kicked in when he was on that plane, and I was like, this movie's gonna fucking kick ass. And then it didn't. But I mean, I had a really good time in that opening sequence. I learned how to survive a bear attack. Had no idea how to there was different ways to survive different bears. Had no idea. Now I know when I go hiking, if I run into a bear, I just know how to approach that situation. Super excited to possibly not die if I run into a bear. I thought there was too many characters kind of running around in the movie, and I know some of them were like, we just need a fun kill right here, or a fun death. The three teenage like thugs or whatever, I didn't get like really their point of being in there. Maybe somebody can explain it to me if there was a point, but I just didn't really get them in there other than watching O'Shea Jackson kick the shit out of them, and then like then they kind of die, and then that's the end of that. I did enjoy seeing O'Shea Jackson, by the way, in something other than Straight Outta Compton. I had not seen him in anything besides the movie where he plays his dad, so that was kind of cool. Ray Liotta was fun to watch. Was that his last movie? Did he make another movie? Anybody know that?
I think he had
two movies after that.
Two more.
Okay. That was Kerry Russell too, right?
Yes.
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 Yep. Thumbs up. All good in the movie. Yeah, I don't know. So Patrick brought up the effects. So the kills are kind of fun, but I mean, fairly simple from what I saw. Nothing really like super stood out for me on any of those. But again, 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes my eyes may or may not have been shut. I'm not sure. I will revisit this movie in the daytime when it's light outside, so I can enjoy some of the things I'm sure that I missed. From what I got out of the experience, I enjoyed watching a movie about a bear on cocaine. That bear, by the way, speaking of true story, died 45 minutes after ingesting all that cocaine. So, God, what the hell is her name that directed this movie?
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth
Thank
Banks.
you. I think it was really great that she took this story and just turned it on its head. And I can't think of anybody else that could have done it better, to be honest with you. That could have taken this story about a bear that ingested cocaine and turned it into a fun, like, horror comedy movie. So good on her as well.
I'm assuming that that's one of the reasons that Jesse Tyler Ferguson got into this movie, was because they had done several episodes together on Modern Family, that Elizabeth Banks played one of their best friends in that show. So it was just weird seeing Mitchell as kind of a redneck.
But he played it really well. Like, he wasn't typecasted to his role in Modern Family, which was kind of a refreshing appearance.
Well, and also it allowed them to have fun with it. He didn't take his character too seriously. And that's what I think most of the actors or most of the characters needed to be in this, was trying not to take it seriously. That's why I didn't much care for the whole Keri Russell daughter thing later on. Because the two kids at the beginning, when they're both trying to ingest cocaine themselves and spitting it out and everything else, just seems a little over the top. And I just wanted over the top all the way through.
For
And I
sure.
didn't, it, like I said, that last act for me, it just wasn't over the top enough.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely could have dialed, like, it was a fun movie, but I feel like they could have dialed it up and just like taken it, kicked it right in the face, and I feel like this would be like a perfect movie. But yeah, they just, and it could, Elizabeth Banks is, is very successful in Hollywood. I'm sure she wanted this film to do well. So there's that thing again of making, quote unquote, this wasn't really a horror movie, but making like horror movies that fit and appeal to a broad audience, which I'm sure is what she was trying to do. I'm sure if it was like Cocaine Bear rampaging through for the fucking Girl Scout camp, I'm sure a lot of people would have a huge problem with that, and it wouldn't have been as successful. But like, would have taken it. Would have taken, had that extra little bump of cocaine to just like push it through.
Do you think she purposefully did that as a, like, I'm going to introduce something completely new to you. I don't want to go too far, but I want to go just far enough to kind of whet your appetite.
I mean, this is again for me who just watches like basic dark web shit. That like there wasn't anything in this movie that really I feel like pushed anything too far. Like it was a new concept, it was interesting, it was cool, but like I don't think there was anything in there that was like pushing the envelope. Nothing was like super, super gory, super, super, like bear attacks are brutal. They're disgusting. Like I feel like if they had made like a really, really realistic bear attack, it probably would have turned some people off, because they'll eat your fucking face like
Oh, yeah.
right in there. They go right in there.
You say that like you've seen a bear attack before.
I am a wildlife major.
That is a good point. I forgot about that. Okay. Wow. Well, Greg, I am on the ball today. No, this is it is a fun watch. I will agree with all of you. It is lacking a little bit, but for me that didn't matter. It's still fun from beginning to end. Yeah, it drops off at the third act a little bit, but at that point, you just want to see what happens. I did like most of the characters. Again, I knew I wasn't going to plan on getting too invested with them. I feel like the Carrie Russell and daughter, I wish I knew what her name or actress name was, their relationship was basically the ferry to carry this movie from beginning to end. And then having the drug dealers out searching for the cocaine was an added bonus. But for me, a lot of these characters were most definitely kill count. And for me, that didn't matter. You know, you obviously, kind of like what Maddie says, I want to see what this bear's going to do while he's fucking jacked. the ambulance scene where it's running away from the ranger station, probably with my favorite part of the entire film.
Yeah, that was chef's kiss.
Right? Yeah, this is definitely something I would recommend if you're looking for a fun horror movie that's just graphic enough to keep your attention, but interesting and funny enough to also keep your attention. Definitely watch Cocaine Bear.
Did anyone watch this movie on cocaine? Like, just did we take it up to that level 20?
I should have. Didn't think about that one.
I probably could, yeah, use that bump at 3 a.m.
Sure. Has anyone watched any of the other like drug animal movies that came out like or are coming out like immediately after this? Like, let me look some up here.
I mean, I'd be intrigued to check them out just to see what they do with it, because yeah, she's opened a whole new window for these types of movies.
Yeah. So we have Cocaine Shark. We have Crackoon, which is a raccoon on crack. We have Meth Gator.
Meth Gator. That's first on my list.
Yeah, Meth Gator. Like, yeah, Wikipedia's got a whole fucking category about this now.
I think Asylum. Go ahead, Meta. Sorry. Go ahead.
Cocaine crabs from outer space. What is that?
Sold.
Are we sold on this?
I heard a shampoo can take care of that pretty well.
Oh my God.
That's one hell of a shampoo if they're coming from space.
I feel like Asylum just got a hold of, you know, Cocaine Bear and went bananas with all the different things they can make based off of the success of that movie, mm-hmm. which is kind of unfortunate. I know that's kind of what Asylum does. I guarantee they're behind those movies. It's unfortunate that you know, I bet you more people saw Crackoon than they saw Cocaine Bear.
Crackoon's kind of great.
But like I said, it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, those people
like
the Great
Value Silent horror movie is the Great Value. We can all just say it.
The bottom of the $5 bins at Walmart.
Yeah.
Mom, I want Cocaine Bear. We got Cocaine Bear at home. And they pull out fucking Meth Gator.
Right.
I found a quote from Elizabeth Banks, because I was curious why she would choose to do this, because she's a lot of the stuff that she produces tends to be more women empowering type movies.
Mm-hmm.
And her quote was, "My goal is to make the audience laugh, scream, and jump. I made this movie during the pandemic when everything seemed scary and traumatic. I feel that there was no greater metaphor for the chaos all around us than a bear who is high on cocaine."
Well, listen, wasn't this a female bear? That's empowerment. That's
that is true. That is very true.
Right there.
I like how he explained how he knew it was a female bear when the bear passed out on top of him.
Yes. Oh, man.
That was a great explanation.
Wasn't Elizabeth Banks behind the Pitch Perfect movies, or was she just an actress?
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah.
That's what
she produced them, but she was in there too.
Right, right. That's what I thought. So, yeah, when I heard she was behind directing this, I was very curious to see what this was going to turn out to be, and I'm a Elizabeth Banks fan for life after seeing this.
Well, she brings a lot of some like kind of quirkier sense of humor. I'm a big Pitch Perfect fan, and she kind of brings some quirkier humor into Pitch Perfect as well. So I think this was kind of, I don't want to say on brand, but mm-hmm. like that kind of quirky, outlandish sense of humor is definitely kind of her thing.
The humor just left to center.
Even before Pitch Perfect, you know, she did Waiting for Guffman, and she did Best in Show, and she did all those, I would call them improv movies.
She was an actress, or she actually produced or made those?
No, she was an actor. She was an actress in those movies. But, I mean, you go back and watch those, it's all quirky. I mean, you see where she came from.
For sure. So it's, for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, all right.
I appreciate it.
We rate these movies. I can't remember what scale we changed it to, but we rate them somehow, if anybody wants to enlighten me.
I think on the last one, we did just 1 to 10.
1 to 10 overall?
Yeah,
because we got rid of our old grading scale, which just didn't work anymore, because we had the fright factor, and that was like, none of these films scare us anymore, so
yeah.
That's always going to be zero. Yeah.
Okay, so overall, let's give this a 1 to 10 rating. Josh, what do you got?
Okay, so as a comedy, I would give this movie a 6. As a horror movie, I'm sitting in that 4-5, that 4-5 line. And again, it's not because I didn't like Cocaine Bear. It's just I liked Cocaine Bear as a comedy.
Sure.
And that's just me.
Maddie.
I'll give her a 6-7. I agree with Josh that this wasn't really too much of a horror movie, but like, it's stupid, fun, who cares? Like, I'll give it a 6 or 7.
Excellent. Patrick?
Yeah, I'm falling right in that range as well. At first, I was going to say I was going to go with, you know, like the Rotten Tomatoes audience score right around, you know, 70%, which would be a 7 here, but I'm dropping it down to a 6, I think.
Okay. I agree. This is definitely more comedy than horror, but there are some horrific elements in there, and I definitely feel like it's not like accidental horror. Like, she purposefully did everything that she meant to do in there, which gives it that horror boost. And I enjoy this movie so much. I'm giving it a 7 and an 8 or a 7 or an 8. I absolutely love this movie. I think it's hysterical. All right. In one of our shorter episodes, we are, we're pushing half an hour. Interesting. We are going to call it, unless anybody has anything else they would like to bring up. Pitch? Plug?
Half an hour. You're welcome.
So we will we'll give you all of our listeners some time back. I am the Dr. Filmonomics, Greg, with our Scream Queen, Maddie. Doctor of Everything Else, Patrick. I said your name this time. Haha.
You did. Thank you very much.
And the doctoral intern, Josh.
Intern out.
We will catch you next time around.